Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in.
Let's
they
go.
Score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Oh, we'd all be fired if they heard what we were saying off the air.
That's fine. It's fine.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box for the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank, Martin, Plowsy, Brian, here till 12 o'clock. How's everybody doing today?
Frank's worried about what we're saying off air. We should be more worried about what's said on air.
Yeah, you're right. You mean the last 10 minutes of the last program?
I was on the phone. I didn't hear it. Frank came in and said to Jim, quality programming there at the end. And the cat had a great phrase that I think we can use in life or with our baseball team or anything. He said, I think the show's getting away from us a little bit.
And the understatement of the century.
And I think if the Cardinals like don't win the division or don't make them, we say, well, it kind of got away from us a little bit. Just use that as like a blanket term.
Every like maybe fourth week, Monique will tune into the radio. She doesn't know when I'm on, but the other day she tuned in at about 9:50, and she says, oh, my gosh. that's the radio station you work at?
That's a fill-in show. Those guys are all from out of town. That was the day we went syndicated at about 9:50, I'm quite certain.
Martin, your friend and a fine reporter in the Columbia area is going to join us at 10:30.
Yeah, Alex Schiffer, a Kansas City Star reporter covering Mizzou, with an East Coast accent. That's my favorite thing about
it. Is it Brooklyn where he's from?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, neither do I.
But when he was covering the tournament, he was in New York or something, and he's got a great East Coast accent. He'll talk pizza pie with you all day, Frank. But
very good.
Young guy with a little bit of edge, covers the Missouri Tigers. We'll get his take on what's happening at camp.
So he is a pizza expert, you think?
Well, he likes
because I want to get him to break down Shakespeare's, which I think
would be interesting.
Is solid, but certainly not in this Ferracci's, Ferrato's, you know, Peroni's, you know, Division I atmosphere we live in.
Yeah, nothing against Shakespeare's, but maybe a little overrated.
Yeah.
From the people who are down there. It's in their backyard. They love it. I get it. And I've been there many times. Yes.
Now, would you put Bouch's with, like, the Carls of the world? Plowsy, have you ever had Bouch's in Columbia? Be
it's
honest.
Been a while for me, but I really
have
like
it. But I can already say it's not in the Carls of the world.
I haven't had it. But
you don't even need to taste it.
I don't need to. Carl's.
Let's not let things get away from us, okay?
Brian, what's our place in Dogtown, the Great
Max?
It's closing and moving.
What?
Yeah, it's got like a week left.
How can you bury the lead?
It's
what's going on?
Well, you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
They're moving.
They're moving to a new brewery that I think is opening up maybe in the fall. I can get that location.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird situation because there's the bar there and they get no money off the bar and then they got their little...
Because I saw an article a little bit ago saying closing Chris Mack McKenzie, moving out of Dogtown to 54321 Bluewood Brewing Company, which would be at 1821 Cherokee Street.
Oh, okay.
That's where it is moving to.
Boy, there's a lot of good restaurants there. I was at one of those recently, by the way. Beastcraft Barbecue in the Grove.
Oh, I went there last week.
Oh, my goodness. It's
have you
insane.
Had the, oh, man, I forgot exactly what, the wings there are unbelievable. The candied bacon is unbelievable there.
The candied bacon, you're right.
It's just phenomenal.
Hey, have you ever walked down Cherokee, Frank?
It's great.
If you go, I guess, west of Jefferson, there are some authentic Mexican grocery stores, and you can go in, and a couple of them, they have like a counter where you can go in and just order, sit at the counter and order tacos, fajitas, whatever, and it's totally old school Mexican. It's a slice of St. Louis that a lot of people. The Cherokee that's kind of blowing up, I think, would be east of Jefferson. But if you go west, there's a number of restaurants, but a lot of Mexican grocery stores where you can get some authentic tacos. Not that we're hungry.
Well, right down the road is one of our favorite Mexican places. Right down Manchester Road.
Little Nacho Mamas, yeah. Little Hacienda.
Oh, chicken quesadilla there. Yeah. You get the Corona through the...
I mean, it worked last week. I was begging for food on the air.
You know, I did thank Joe Lordo, who brought in the drops. And I said, hey, thanks for doing that. He said, hey, just let me know, you know, in case Frank's ever dieting, I'll drop some off. He said, I'll drop some off just for you.
I was at Missouri Banking Company Friday. I went to Blue City Deli, then went to Missouri Banking Company.
What a little hedonist there.
And I got a lemon bar, and it was phenomenal. I think that's the first time I've actually been in there. I've had my girlfriend go there, like, you know, on occasion we'll bring stuff home, but the selection's unreal.
I was at an all-Italian party Saturday night. I mean, it was. I think everybody there was Italian. I swear to God. It was Joe Pesciotta hosted it, and they had the they brought in a Missouri Baking Company brought in the cookie version of the chocolate drop.
Yeah, we got some of those.
Those are strong too.
Like the little Christmas cookie types. Have you heard that what you're talking about? Oh yeah, those are.
And
great.
I'm not a huge fan of the Italian cookies in general, but this one, it was just like a smaller chocolate drop.
Now, is Frank in some kind of secret society here? This Saturday party and.
You bring the chocolate drops, I'll bring the gravy. You know?
There was a Caprese, a Pagano, a Pesciotta. Everybody was attacked.
The Sopranos just playing on a loop in the background.
Yeah. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway, the big race coming up on Saturday. Be there. Could be 50,000 on hand. Let's begin with lap one. You know what this 86 win season will be remembered for, and I think it's going to be 86. They're on pace for that. They look like an 86 win team, let's face it. The season where jumping Jack Flaherty becomes a star. Yesterday, not dominating, but five innings. He only allowed three hits. One run, pretty good stuff. So if you give up a run, a single run, every like 28 innings, that's pretty good. Let's hear some sound about Mr. Flaherty.
Yeah, Jack was good. You know, he's not quite as crisp, but that's a high bar. You know, Jack was really good, pitched well with the lead. Was able to gut through that fifth a little bit, and then, you know, had enough. Probably had a little more in the tank, but just started to get a little away from him. So went to the bullpen with Jack. Was really another quality outing for Jack.
What did you think of Flaherty and coming out early? I thought with a lot of innings he's pitched, maybe it was the right idea.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they're watching him innings-wise the later they get in the year, because he's been going seven pretty consistently now. So that's probably smart, but I do think this is the year, really the back half of the season, where he's been the guy we thought he could be. He is our one-game starter. If we're in D.C., if you're hosting the wild card, he's the guy. I think we gave it to Ponce de Leon for a second. Hudson was the guy for a second. We've bounced it around. There's nothing really that's going to happen where I'm going to change my mind. I think Flaherty is your bulldog.
I'm glad you brought up Ponce. Could it be possible that right now your second-best pitcher in the organization is actually in AAA?
Yeah, he did.
Would you trust him more than Michaelis, Dakota, Waino, and Waka right now?
Well, he faltered towards the end of his stretch big league level
but
here.
Gosh, but now, AAA.
No, I think it's time to bring him back. I don't know if I'd put him ahead of Hudson, but I'm telling you, yeah, if it's I got to win this game tonight, do I want Michaelis or Ponce de Leon? I think I'd roll with Ponce de Leon based on what I've seen.
Lap two. Paul Goldschmidt, not a bad day at the office. Home run, double, walk.
Not that kind. That's pretty good action there. His second home run in this series, Goldschmidt. Speaking of launch angle, exit velocity, homers. Hey, thanks, Marty.
Marty Brenneman with Dan McLaughlin yesterday in the booth. It was a great segment, great interview during the middle of that game. You know, his slugging and on base are going to be off his career numbers. There's no doubt about it. But he's going to hit 35. He's playing the best defense at first since Albert and maybe Keith. He does everything the right way. Carson Kelly, by the way, is having an unbelievable season. 876 OPS, 17 homers. He's a really good player. But nobody can second-guess this deal.
No, I think, especially if Yachty's going to be here a couple more years. How old's Carson Kelly right now? Probably pushing 25. So he'd be sitting around till he's 27, 28. No, I think the Goldschmidt deal, even though he struggled, you knew exactly what you were getting. Did he start slow? Yes. But do you want him on your team for the next couple of years? Absolutely. Especially if you think Ozuna's walking or you're not interested in bringing him back. Somebody's got to sit in the middle of that lineup.
Wouldn't that be insane, though, if Carson Kelly becomes like a five-time All-Star? And...
Well, of course, I will retell it when that happens. I was like, I knew they shouldn't have got rid of this guy.
He was your guy in spring training when nobody was talking to him.
What a great name.
Yeah.
No, but Goldschmidt, and he is such a pro, and I know that doesn't matter. Let's say he goes 0 for 30. But even the quote last week when they fired the hitting coach, Mark Badaska, I just love the commish, including because Goldschmidt, he's new here. He doesn't have the history in the minor leagues with Badaska. So the commish talks to DeYoung and Wong and these guys who knew him real well. And then Goldschmidt's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure what to say. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the quote even had sorry. I'm like, because he probably felt bad that he couldn't help him with a quote. And he actually said sorry. And it was part of the quote in the paper.
Big road trip for commish. He got that Paul Goldschmidt bite. And then he had Paul DeYoung talking about wanting to burn all the alternate jerseys.
Yeah, boy, those are they 1-9?
1-9.
Are we blaming the jerseys yet?
Well, I guess you have to now.
At this point, it's the jersey.
Yeah. Speaking of the Budaska, he was on, or Manager Schilt was on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning, the Mike Schilt Show, actually. And it's like one of the first times he kind of dusted off the question, well, I really don't want to get into it. You know, we've discussed it. And he kind of wanted to move on from it. He tried to give it a thoughtful answer, said it was his. But it's clearly a sensitive topic because he's known the guy for 12 years and he fired him mid-season.
Right. It seemed a very un-Schilt-like move.
Yeah.
And part of me, and I'm not in time, but Frank, I kind of like every once in a while when somebody says, you're damn right, I ordered the hit. Like, kind of owns it because it doesn't seem his nature. I don't know if we'll ever get the full story there because they're the ones, the organization, who raved about him for years. I mean, he was the guru and basically gets 1 year at the big league level. Very laid back. You just wonder if he didn't have the intensity they were looking for. I don't know. It had to be old school, new school. Even though they say it's not, the optics on it are Jeff Albert is all new school analytics, and then the Buddha is a 64-year-old guy who's from Hawaii, chilled out, laid back. That's his demeanor. It just had to be personality.
All right, lap three. Martin, I know your station is all over the Bomberito 500 like the other stations are in town. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. If you want to know why the Bomberito 500 is so successful, all you have to do is kind of look at the triple crown of people that are involved, okay? So you have John Bomberito, who sponsors the event. He kind of has figured out, you know, the business world, hasn't he? Then you have Dave Stewart, who the founder of Worldwide Technology, and I think he has an idea of what will work. And then you have Curtis Francois, who owns the facility, and who's been, you know, just guided the track to unparalleled greatness. How could it go wrong if you have those three minds in one race?
Yeah, that's a great point. Because we've noted over the years that Curtis did a great job, but then hook it up with Bomberito. It gets you a lot of juice, too, around the country, because John will fly to an Indy race, and he's taking some of our reporters, photographers, and really engaged. So St. Louis isn't just a stop that happens in August. There's a presence there because of John. He's got influence and got money, and he can go to these other events. And I think they're talking about the St. Louis stop more than just once a year. And I don't know enough about the intricacies of the track, but those drivers, and you see like in the auto racing world, sometimes they'll speak their mind, but all of them rave about the experience. You know, you don't have to be a diehard. It's the same thing we said with soccer. If you appreciate big events in your backyard, you love to see it happening. And if it's NASCAR, and I think Kenny Wallace said, hey, you know, they're going to experiment with some midweek stuff. Whatever it is, if you get a cup-level event in your backyard, that's a big deal.
I think the most interesting thing on Saturday is they are going to open up the third grandstand. The first two grandstands, they seat 40,000. It's packed. Now the third grandstand's going to be open. And, you know, if they could get 8,000 to 10,000 in that third grandstand to get it to 50,000, and NASCAR is contemplating pulling a race either from Michigan or from Kansas, we'd be in an excellent position.
All right, as a side note, when you think of the race, you think of David Letterman, think of Big Al, right? Pictures of Big Al with Letterman. So the other day, I don't know if it was Thursday, Friday, I'm running around the house, and I have like three missed calls from Big Al. And he said, call me now.
This is Thursday?
I think it was Thursday.
Because he called me Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So I look down, and this has all transpired over like a 20, 30-minute period. I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is. Like, okay, something happened. So I called him up, and he said, you missed it. I had the scoop. I gave it to Frankie. And I said, what did I miss?
What did you?
And he said, I got the team name from the MLS.
Oh, yeah.
So for a second, I thought, God, what if he? What if he's got a friend on the inside? What if he did have the scoop of all scoops?
I mean, he did do the one-on-one with Letterman, so.
And I didn't call him back right away, and all of this. And so if work says, "How did Frank get the scoop?" Well, I didn't call Big Al back fast enough, so I said, "Okay, what did I miss?" They're the St. Louis Shock, and I said, "That doesn't sound right. I don't think that's it." And then he said, "Yeah, if you come to St. Louis and leave without dying, it's a shock." Oh, so it's a bad joke.
Terrible. It's not a good
joke
at all.
So the next time I get the panicked Big Al, you call me. I think I'll take my time.
That could have been your Hulk Hogan moment with the George Foreman grill. You didn't call back in time.
Correct.
And missed out.
Well, he had me for
or
a
Randy
second.
Or Randy and Under Armour.
Yes.
When he called.
Did you think for a second, well, maybe he's got something?
Well, he called the office number. See, I, unlike you, have not given Al my cell phone number.
In fact, the follow-up was, I need Frankie's cell. I've lost it.
Thank you for.
Which is a great way to put it. I've lost it. That's what I. Yeah, I'm going to need that Costas number. I misplaced it.
Yeah. All right, lap four. So tomorrow at this time, we'll be live at the Palladium for the big MLS announcement. And, you know, I just wanted to get the exact quote because Stan Kroenke on the way out used these words. St. Louis will lag and continue to lag. And the NFL would be on their way to financial ruin if they stay in St. Louis. So apparently the MLS feels a little differently. It's amazing how things change when you have two power St. Louis families and $250 million stadium and a soccer heritage. I'll be thinking a little bit about Stan tomorrow when that big announcement is made.
So on Saturday, I take Carson to get a haircut. It's the Ledoux Barbershop. It's right by Lester's, Frank's spot.
Oh, by Clayton and Lindbergh?
Yeah. And we're sitting in there. And it's
the Ledoux Barbershop.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
here we go.
Family. Wow.
I got a massage.
Bet they're really talking shop in there. Yeah. Did you see the cricket match? Oh,
no, not at all.
Yeah, I'm playing racquetball.
This is an old school barbershop.
It's classic old barbershop.
It's hard, it's hard to find.
Old school, old money. We get
no.
It.
Yeah. Well, okay, now when I tell you what's next, I'm going to lose all credibility defending myself. So there's a line, and so now Carson and I are just sitting there talking. And there's a gentleman in the chair, and I just kind of I'm eavesdropping a little bit. He said, yeah, it's been kind of crazy with all this MLS stuff. It's really kept me busy. So now my ears kind of perk up, and I'm just kind of listening a little closer. And then he didn't say a whole lot the rest of the time. And he gets up and walks out, and Chris May walks in, the athletic director at SLU. He said, did you see who just walked out? And I said, well, he's a little bit older, talking MLS. He said, that's Andy Taylor. And I said, oh, my God.
You didn't recognize Andy Taylor?
I didn't. Well, I wasn't paying.
Going to the same barbershop as Andy Taylor?
And that's right.
Boy.
Carson is, not me. Yeah. Carson is.
Then they went to San Luis Country Club for a round of golf.
I bet club handed sandwiches. Carson a full-size candy bar and came to Alexis.
That would have been Doug Vaughn. He would have pulled out his phone. Andy, can I come in for an interview?
But the takeaway is.
You mean a camera.
Yeah.
Takeaway is, and I said to Chris May, I said, isn't it crazy just sitting here at the barbershop talking a little bit about the MLS? And I said, worth like $1 billion, and Chris said maybe a little more. Yeah. And just unassuming. But
yeah, how about that real quick? Net worth, Andy Taylor. It's got to be like
$3 to $4 billion.
No, I bet it's
higher
than that. Yeah.
Martin just hanging out with just your average people.
Yeah. Boy.
But what my the point is?
What is the point?
The point is that the Taylor family
worth $12.8 billion. The whole family is.
God. 12.8 billion. So with Martin there, the two combined
together we're worth $12.8 billion. The point is that the Taylors saved this deal, and Jim Cavanaugh linking up with them. But the power of enterprise when you go to the MLS and say,
oh,
"Listen, we've got this package," and you know, we also—I don't know if you've noticed—we do a little bit of advertising with National Rent-A-Car and Enterprise. There's a little bit of clout, the clout that they brought to the table, but also just unassuming people. It really is amazing when you think about Tom Stillman. I've told that story going to the Fox Theater. And he's paying the meter. I'm watching him park his car, and he's putting in coins in the antiquated.
Martin's trying to get tickets comped from DeWitt.
Frank and I are in the VIP parking.
Oh, credit card number. Let me see. I can't really find that right now.
Unassuming, though. The Taylors,
right.
DeWitt, Stillman. I mean,
you think if you were worth $12 billion, you would be as unassuming?
No.
Do you think he's unassuming now? He just bragged about going to a Ledoux barbershop.
Andy and I were at the shop. That's my guy. He's on my staff.
All right, lap five. Okay, so This is dedicated to Jack Whitaker, the legendary broadcaster, 95 years old, passed away. We're going to talk about great broadcasting calls. And there's a comedian by the name of Sid Lyre who had a wonderful call on this moment in soccer.
And what a game here as Johnson kicks towards the goal. And oh my God, Singh makes a fantastic save. But I believe he hit his nuts on the goalpost. He is down. Let us have a closer look at instant replay. Not only just self-sacrifice on this play, but sacrificing future generations as well. Obviously going all out for his team, saving the ball right here, but also losing two on the play.
And I'm wondering,
is that from The Simpsons? Is that real?
The Canadian is Indian, if that helps at all.
I wonder, how does that compare to Howard Cosell and Frasier and Foreman?
You may hear him. Down goes Frasier! Down goes Frasier! Down goes Frasier!
Or Johnny Most with John Havlicek's special moment in the finals.
He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it. Over the stands, goal. Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. It's all over. Johnny Havlicek is being mauled by the fans.
Or maybe the most famous call of them all, Russ Hodges, the Giants win the pennant.
Francis Rose.
I don't know, though. I think I'm leaning towards the soccer call one more time.
And what a game here as Johnson kicks towards the goal. And oh, my God, Singh makes a fantastic save. But I believe he hit his nuts on the goalpost. He is down. Let us have a closer look at instant replay. Not only just self-sacrifice on this play, but sacrificing future generations as well. Obviously going all out for his team, saving the ball right here, but also losing two on the play.
Sid Lyre on the call.
Frank's favorite clips, LBJ, the soccer guy.
there is a theme.
The LBJ I've heard about 10, 15 times.
And every time, so good. You have to laugh. And you know who does
I like the bunghole one, like that.
You know who does a great Johnny Most? Is Charlie Marlowe. But he does it, and if you watch, he has to squeeze his nose. He does the bird inbound and steal. If I understand, can't do it. But if you next time you see Chuck, have him do the Johnny Most.
Well, oh, you do a good tuna by just squeezing your nose, right?
Oh, man, those guys are terrible.
Just have to say everything's terrible.
Bob Wilson. All right.
Oh, my God, I already forgot about that.
Lapstick. Stream of consciousness. It was at Harpo's the other day. They're about to sponsor part of the Barry Odom segment. And I was shocked that, you know, you think Harpo's, you think good beer. You know, just a great time. The food was unbelievable. We had great tuna steak, and we had great fish tacos. Harpo's in Chesterfield. We appreciate them being a part of the program. Martin, the PGA is really going to be fascinating. So Justin Thomas is going to start this week with a two-shot lead because of what he did at Medina this weekend. It is so crazy. This is the first time PGA's ever done this. If you win the BMW Championship, you finish first in points. Now, this week, you start with a two-stroke lead.
And I was trying to understand some of the FedEx Cup points because in recent weeks, the kid that won the Masters last year, Reed, they said he got more points for his win at whether it was the Wyndham or the Northern Trust than Tiger, Koepka, and Woodland got combined for winning their majors. Isn't that weird?
It is. It's kind of like the playoffs start and these are the playoffs, so it means more than a regular season win or something.
But that's hard to believe that if you're doing a season-long points title – that you win the Masters, or you win the U.S. Open, or the PGA, it doesn't factor in. But I think it's 15. Is it $15 million?
It is.
Is that not the purse?
And second is $5 million. Well, so I mean, it's
how about Patrick Cantlay, who goes 22 under and hits a bomb on 18? He had a bomb on like 16 too. Yeah. 22 under par, and he finishes second to Justin Thomas, who does something that's never been done before at the BMW: go 25 under. That was fun golf. Did you see his Saturday when he shot 61?
It's unreal. Oh. I mean, I shoot a 61 and I still have 7 holes to go.
Is Medina where Hale won his last U.S. Open?
When he high-fived? Yeah.
Looks like a sweet course, though. I'd love to play there.
All right, let's take a
They short... might have a reciprocal with Normandy. If you go up there, you just let them know.
That's fun.
All right, let's take a short time out. Our good friends at Bomberito sponsor this segment. If you're looking for a car, look no further than Bomberito. Go to their website, get tickets to the Bomberito 500, and buy a car in the process. The Bomberito Automotive family, they sell more cars than any automotive dealership in the St. Louis area, and they've done it that way for 11 straight years. We'll be right back.